As we prepare to hear a word from God today, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are in your bulletin or on the screen. Friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today I invite you to stand in the hearing of the gospel. I will be reading from Matthew from the 9th chapter, and I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we hear the good news this day. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful Sunday, we come and we hear a word intended to stir our hearts and move us closer to what you would have us do today and every day. So may these words fall fresh upon our ears and move within our hearts, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we are living very much in the season of what I would call ordinary time. In some church traditions, it's called Kingdom Tide, which is the season following Pentecost after Trinity Sunday, which hopefully you all had a chance to celebrate at brunch church, which I heard was a packed house. And I'm really sad I missed all the food in the packed house. And yet here we are going into a new season. And I've shared this with a couple of folks in the past, but we have the church year to give us a rhythm to our life. And how many of you know kind of like the sinusoidal waves? Anyway, they go like this and then cross the x-axis, right? And we can do some calculations and figure out the area between, you know, those peaks where it crosses the x-axis based on its amplitude, its y-axis. And the time in the church calendar from the beginning of Advent until Trinity Sunday is that first hump, half of the year, 26 weeks. And then the other part of this is ordinary time, kingdom tide, this living in the season of all of this work of preparing for the coming of a Savior, recognizing his call to ministry, all of his teachings, leading ultimately to his death upon the cross, his resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like, man, those 6 months are packed in the life of the church. And then we get 6 months to live in practice what all of that teaching and instruction means for us. So we have this really long season, and it is the season of green. And sometimes you'll see some modification to that. But we're going to be here for a while, right? Because green is often this color of everlasting, right? We know of green as evergreens. And if you look at pine trees, they always have their green needles unless they fall on your roof and then you have to clean out your gutters, right? But we know that there are deciduous trees and then there are the evergreen trees. And that is what gives us constancy of recognizing that God is always with us, always present. And so green is this idea that regardless of the season that we're in, God is with us. And so we get a really long period of time of instruction of what does that mean for us. And so I read from Matthew, which is really kind of in the beginning-ish part of Jesus' ministry. So sometimes you can spend this season either reflecting on the teachings of Jesus, or you can go to the prophets or the Old Testaments and then look through it as through the lens of Jesus to find meaning and encouragement of how to live a faithful life. And sometimes it's helpful to hear scripture in a different voice. And so I typically read New Revised Standard Version, but I want to read today's text from the Message because I think it hits a little differently, particularly as we reflect on what that means for us in this moment as we try to live faithfully as followers of Jesus. So passing along, Jesus saw a man at his work collecting taxes. His name was Matthew. And Jesus said, "Come along with me." And Matthew stood up and followed him. Now later, when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. When the Pharisees saw Jesus keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and lit into Jesus' followers. "What kind of example is this from your teacher, acting cozy with crooks and misfits?" And Jesus, overhearing, shot back, "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what the scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders." This is the message, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. How did that hit for you? A little bit different, right? Because sometimes when we just read from a standard translation, we're so familiar with it or we've read it. And when we say sat and ate, they're really lounging because they would have lied down in order to eat. But then to go to the Message, which is more contemporary, like a thought for thought, right? Translation and practicality for us. And particularly as we think about what it means to live as followers of Jesus, it's, who was Jesus really reaching for? Who were the intended recipients of this good news? And so there was this constant tension between Jesus interacting with those the religious community would consider undesirables and those that were just seeking meaning and hope in their lives. How many of you have been at work and had an invitation from Jesus just to get up and leave what you're doing and follow Jesus? Have any of you just walked out of your job and just said, "I'm going to go follow Jesus today and then go have a meal"? It seems kind of crazy, right? But we know that this is the response that a lot of Jesus's tight-knit crew did. When they saw Jesus, there was something about him that called them to a different life, that encouraged them to drop what they knew, what was familiar and comfortable, and to step into an unknown future, to be shaped by this teaching and clinging to promises that they had probably heard for years and years and years if they were faithful in the religious community, but it didn't seem tangible to them or within their reach. So in the past couple of weeks, I've been exploring and reading as much as I possibly can about the word love. I would probably guess that for as many people as we have sitting in the sanctuary, we would have that many different understandings of what the concept of love is. Oftentimes we come to this place and say, "God is love. Jesus was love incarnate in flesh who walked amongst us. And it is God's love that brings us into the fullness and reconciliation and making our broken relationships better," right? But we still haven't defined the word love. A few weeks ago, I preached on Jesus' interaction with Peter on the beach, right? And Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And I said there's a distinction between agape love and philia love. And then there's also the eros love, which was the passion and the desire. So there are three different ways of having love. But what I keep coming to you is a definition of love written by Dr. M. Scott Peck and also used by bell hooks, that the true definition of love is willingness to give of oneself, to bring yourself into a deeper spiritual understanding, or to give of yourself so that someone else can reach the fullness of their spiritual well-being. I probably butchered that, but the idea is that it's not this, I have these emotive emotions for you because I feel good being in your presence. This definition of love is, I am so concerned and committed to you being the fullness of who you were created to be, that I am willing to give of myself to make that happen. Do you hear the difference of that? And so when we come to this text and we hear Jesus and this religious community and these people that would have been crooks and misfits, Jesus is loving in that space. Loving in a way that he is so concerned about the spiritual wholeness of Matthew and Peter and all those he called to follow him, that he knows that the fullness of who they are has not yet been realized and can only be realized with intentionality and commitment and conversation and hope and respect and teachings of what this love truly means. And here's the truth. The religious community didn't get it, because they thought, if I dot the I's and cross the T's and I follow the letter of the law, then we will attain the heavenly realm. Because if we do that, then oftentimes what we're doing is we are not genuinely concerned about the spiritual wholeness or wellness of those we're serving. Because it's about us making sure we've done what we need to do. Because if they were focused on the spiritual wholeness and wellness, then they would be attuned to the widows and the orphans, those who are hungry, those who were sick and on the margins and on the outskirts, and those who were ostracized because of the line of work that they had or because of where they lived or the company that they kept. And so today, when we come and we hear this text, it's almost an admonishment against the religious structure to say, y'all are missing the point of why I'm here. I'm asking you to seek mercy, not to adhere to the religious structures that you have clung to so tightly. Which then made me think, what does mercy mean? Well, mercy is a synonym for compassion. Well, compassion is to have this awareness of what someone else may need, to be empathetic and to say, my goodness, I'm not going to tell you what you need, but I'm going to see you and hear you and listen to you and care for you in a way that will help you become the fullness of who you were created to be, that you can experience a freedom from all of these constraints that have been put upon you by society or from the religious communities that say dot the I's and cross the T's, right? So let me go back and remind us of this definition of love. definition of love, according to bell hooks and Scott Peck, is to commit to help either yourself or someone else grow into the spiritual wholeness of who you've been created to be. Meaning, I care about who you are, about your soul, about your well-being, that you are living in an abundant life, life with joy, possibility, and wholeness. But I don't just desire that for you. I desire it for the world. That is the love we are called to embody. That's the compassion that we are called to have. That is the mercy that is meant to structure our lives if we are true followers of Jesus, that it will impact our choices in our engagement with others, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, our chosen families, for us to have an awareness of where can I truly love so that others can experience the wholeness of what God intends. It means calling out against injustices. It means calling out about systems and structures that would ostracize or depress certain individuals, groups of individuals. And if we hold to this idea that all people are created in the divine image of God, and the divine image meaning in this image of love, then we are meant to be concerned about their wholeness and spiritual wellness. So when Jesus says, "I seek mercy," go figure out what that means. Part of that is coming here to hear this word, to be challenged, to be reminded that Jesus truly was the embodiment of this definition of love, because for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that they could experience the fullness of eternal life, not to condemn the world, but that all the world could be reconciled unto God. Friends, that is this definition of love manifested and visible in Jesus. And if we are to be called followers of Jesus as disciples of Christ, then we too would want to seek that same mercy. Offer that same mercy, offer that same compassion, and live in this definition of love to genuinely care about the spiritual wholeness of all of God's beloved people. So may we not fall in the traps of the religious community to think about those who are crooks or misfits, but rather to say we are all sinners in need of this divine healing that can only come from the fullness of God's love manifested in Christ Jesus. May we cling to this and be challenged by it and live our lives in a way that it is visible to others, that others can experience the same mercy and compassion that we ourselves have received. May we live in the spirit of love and mercy and grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.